Today's got a theme that you'll find consistent if you're in 9:30 and 11 o'clock. Actually, you know that I talk about this all the time. But like a prism that you hold up and you look at it from one direction when the light hits it and you see one color and you turn it a little bit and you see a different color and it's the same prism. But you see it in different ways as you turn it and you look at it in light. Well, this whole topic of spiritual maturity is one that God just keeps bringing back before me. And, you know, Dusty's talking about the follower's cross, started that last week at 11. And this is independent, apart from that, that God just kind of put this stuff on my heart again. I've talked to you about what I would call the marks of spiritual maturity. In other words, when a person is spiritually mature, what do they look like? Okay? But the question that I began to wonder is, do people really know what it takes to become spiritually mature? Because it's one thing to say, okay, here's the picture, and another to say, these are the things that make it happen. Some of them are the same. Some of them aren't. But to begin with, I wanted to start with something that we all are much more familiar with. What's the thing about not wanting to grow up spiritually? What do we think? If we don't grow up, what is it? What does that gain for us?
No accountability.
No accountability, no responsibility. I don't have to, and then fill in the blank. It's the, I want my $5 worth of God, please, and then I will check out because I got my fire insurance that Dusty talked about last week, right? We don't get the luxury of staying spiritual infants. So how do you really grow up? What does it take to grow up? I want to talk about three or four things. And honestly, these three or four things go in a lot of different directions. And you know me, I like for you to help me with the directions. So I may ask some questions, but I really want you to help. Okay, because you know this. That's the problem. We know this. We just have to live this. First of all, to grow up to be like Jesus, it takes a simple thing called, ta-da, obedience. Easy to say, hard to swallow. Hard to live. Hard to walk. Matthew 28. You guys know this passage, but you might not focus on the fact that in this passage, there's this little thing near the end of it. Let's read it. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them
to obey
everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Now, we focus on all the other stuff. We focus on, therefore, go, and we talk about as you're going, and that's, you know, wherever you go, you go. Wherever God sends you, that's where you go. As you're going in your daily walk of life, you're doing those things of making disciples. You're baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we even focus on that word teaching. But we don't focus on what are we teaching them. We are teaching them to obey. How do you teach people to obey? You obey. How does it work whenever you tell your kids to obey and then you don't? Does that go real well? So it starts with us, right? And it's something that's relatively consistent. So, how does obedience, how is it different? Because, see, we can say a spiritually mature Christian is obedient. We can tell that you're mature when you obey. Okay? And we're talking about God, not any man that sets themselves up and, you know. We can say that, but how does obedience develop us to become more mature? You ever thought about it that way? Because see, the issue a lot of times is we just expect people to go from 0 to 60 we assume that it's going to happen. There's the natural process of growing up. But the problem is we have a bunch of people who have been a part of the body, not functioning as part of the body, and in about 25 years, they're still doing this. They're still sucking their thumb. Do you have to obey from the thing that's 20 years from now, or do you have to obey the next step? We say that all the time, right? It's the next thing. Okay. So when God reveals to us what the next thing is, we obey. And then we're at a point where He can reveal the next thing to us, and we obey. We don't obey the next thing. He can't take us where He wants to take us three steps down the road till we take the first step, right? When we do not obey, God will continue to let us repeat lessons over and over and over again until we get it, because He loves us. Now us, we get frustrated to no end until we finally realize this is an opportunity. God's letting me repeat this over and over and over again until I get it right. Does that make sense to you? Because He knows where He wants to take us. But we can't see it. So obedience is very important. Very important if we want to be more like Jesus. So how does disobedience then, since I said what I did, how does that then keep us from becoming what Jesus wants to become? From growing up to be like Him? Sure, Wade.
Well, I was thinking of a verse that always ministered to me in the book of Hebrews. It says of our Savior, it says, though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered, than letting Christ's grace work in me. And obviously it's a process, because in our Bible that word perfect doesn't mean we're sinless. It just means we become more complete in Christ.
Right. So,
but I always got encouragement that Christ Himself had to suffer things, the man Christ Jesus, to grow in His obedience or to understand that obedience. You know?
So, I don't know if that... Right. And it's not because He's punishing us. It's because... What do you do? What happens when you put a loaded gun in the hands of a 2-year-old? Not good. It is. It's right. It's dangerous. It's not good. And that's kind of, we have the wealth and the wisdom and the power of a living God available to us, but we don't know how to use it. We don't know what our part is yet. Today, We've got to know what we need to know through obedience today in order to be able to unleash through our lives what God has put within us for tomorrow. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. And if I don't take the step of obedience, then I'm not ready for tomorrow. We just don't understand how important every day is, do we? Now, Stephen, you had something you want to share.
You know, I'm thinking about baseball camp a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about that piece I did that's over in the fellowship hall. And everything, you know, I'm putting a bunch of stuff together because I've had some questions the last few days from some people who are very dear to me. Mm-hmm. About why are things the way they are. And you know, what I keep coming back to is obedience is synonymous with, it's always a first step of training. Mm-hmm. You have to hear the word. Listen to that word and put that word into practice to get to the next step, where you hear the word, put that word into practice to get to the next step. It's synonymous. You cannot have it. You cannot even have training if there is no obedience in there.
One of the greatest pictures of obedience in the Bible is Israel in the desert. And there were a whole lot of things that God told them to do with that manna. But one of them was not save it for tomorrow. So it was a daily thing. Wake up, collect it, eat it tomorrow. Wake up, collect it, eat it tomorrow. You know, Then when they grumped for meat, it was collect the quail, you know, catch it, eat it tomorrow. There was never stockpile it, store it up. It just didn't happen. Trust, obedience, well, you got to trust in order to obey, don't you? So we'll say that. Well, they had also seen several of them removed. I mean, it was, you know, God put his foot down. And I think that they did learn that, you know, give them this, you know, they learned a lesson, you know.
Yeah.
God's not fooling around. You know, he means what he says. Yep, all the things. And, you know, the way we learn what Jesus said is by spending time in the Word, letting the Word become a part of us, like the Psalm says, hiding it in our hearts, so that when the time comes, we know. And then we obey, because we can hide. You know a lot of people, and I know a lot of people who have absorbed a lot of Bible between the ears, but they haven't let it go to their hands or their feet or their heart. That's true too. And it's got to get to all of us. It's got to be like in our veins, in our arteries. It's got to go everywhere. It's got to be in every muscle. It can't just stay between our ears. That's why, and I confess that I am prejudiced this way, forgive me. But I'm going to tell you, anybody that thinks spiritual maturity is between the ears, I'm not going to agree with them. Okay? It may have an aspect where it is, yes, you have to know the Word, but then you have to live the Word. And if I believe in that thing is, if you live a thimble full of theology, it's a lot better than knowing a book full of Bible facts. All right. Next thing. Wade kind of led into that. It fit very well. And these things are all related. You all know this. But in Philippians chapter 2, Paul, as he begins to write and talk to the Philippians, talking about the attitude that they should have towards one another. And that attitude should be the same that Jesus had. And then a lot of people believe that this little section of Scripture was actually one of the earliest hymns that are actually ever anywhere recorded, anywhere in the faith. Now, we don't have the musicality part of it, unfortunately, but we have the words. And he referred to it. And that was that who Jesus, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Sacrifice. Now, one of the things that is hard for us to do is sacrifice. There are those of us that sacrifice much more than I do here as we sit together. But in order to grow, we see that the Bible says it's something we can't sidestep, which is hard in a culture where we are consistently encouraged to take the path of least resistance. That the whole thing is get as much as you can with as little effort as possible. And yet, in order to grow up to be like Jesus, and this is just one passage. Wade read another passage. There's another 5 passages, 10 passages that would remind us, each one of us, that if we're going to be like Jesus, Jesus suffered. You go to 1 Peter, you read all through the whole letter. Is all about sacrificing, placing ourselves aside. And that's what Jesus did for us. And there's the model. So we can't get around sacrifice. If we do, we don't grow up. So is it true or false? Making sacrifices mold us into the image of Jesus? Is it just any sacrifice? Do we just go looking around like the ascetics who try to punish themselves in order to become more spiritual. Okay, cost of something. You know, I would add that there's an important dimension of sacrifice, and that is you are sacrificing what God tells you to sacrifice. Because just a sacrifice for sacrifice's sake then brings in that man-centered thought about what it's all about. You don't become more like Jesus when you sacrifice in order to get points with God and turn up the volume and say, God, you really need to bless me because I'm being sacrificial. I deserve it. And I've heard in people who are trying to mature, who are trying to figure out how God works and who God is and the way He is and His heart. But I'm doing this and God's not doing this. And it's because of that quid pro quo attitude about what it means to follow God. God's not a cosmic vending machine where you pop the coin in and you pull the little thing and pop, out comes. So sacrificing is when I put in my coin and out comes a blessing. Right. Have you all... Now look, if we're honest, we have all gone through that stage. Hopefully we're not stuck there, because then we're talking about exactly what we need to be talking about if we're stuck there. What are some things that keeps us from sacrificing, even when we know God's telling us? What are some things that keep us from actually obeying and making the sacrifice?
Selfishness,
fear of loss, greediness, discomfort. Okay. Unbelief. And the direction that I'm going is sort of unbelief. It's I can't see what God's going to do with it.
Well, God said in Hebrews, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Anytime we walk from the commandment, we've departed from the Lord. We talk about sacrifice, but any sacrifice not in agreement with the Word, He can't bless.
Right.
Because He can only bless His truth.
Right.
And I know in my life, the bottom line is I don't do it because I'm afraid to trust Him on it. You can boil it down to whatever you want, but I just don't have faith enough to say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. Whatever the consequence, I'll do it, because You're going to do the right thing anyway.
Right.
I'm just a fraidy cat. I mean, that's what God said. You know, He said, they know my ways, but they don't know. He said, they know my actions, but they don't know my ways. They don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
And I get frustrated at myself because I'm like, God's asked me to do something, and I just won't have that courage to say, okay, here it is, you know, but then I'll candy coat it however I want to. But.
Which takes us back to square one, which is to know God, you have to spend time with Him. You have to listen to Him. You have to let Him show you that as you're obedient, that He's faithful. And then you have the whole thing kind of steamrolls, which is why every part of this is an essential part of growing up. We can't just do one or the other. And they're all connected. All right, John, let's go to the next thing. Patient endurance. Oh, goody. Patient endurance. Yeah. Paul wrote, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. See how these things just kind of keep rolling together? Because we know that sufferings produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. You know, immediate gratification is the drug of our culture. So can we become more like Jesus and live to satisfy our desire for immediate gratification and grow up in Jesus at the same time. Don't you know, from the time that Jesus knew when he was going to die on the cross, and I don't know when that was. I believe the Father revealed to him things that, you know, he could have known that from the day he was born. He could have known that sometime along. I don't know when. The Bible doesn't tell us when, but he knew, right? If I were him, I would say, can't we just get this thing over with? You know, but that's not the way that it worked, right? Can't we just kind of avoid this lashing thing? Can't we just avoid this nailing to the cross thing? I'll just die and come back. That's not the way that it worked. So, what do we miss by avoiding patient endurance? And it's not just us. We tend to want shortcuts. You know, we even have shortcuts on our computers, right? We have on our screens, we can create a shortcut. It's there. Click, click, work, you know, straight there, right? We tend to want to do that with our lives. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And then you got verse 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Well, gosh, he just said it didn't save us, but that doesn't mean we're not supposed to be engaged in doing them, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Didn't say those things that we're supposed to do were going to be easy. You know, just like when we follow Jesus, it doesn't mean life gets easier. It doesn't mean we won't have to deal with trouble or problem or suffering or any of that. We have to remember when we wake up every day, every 4th of July or whenever you want to make your day where you remember this, but you happen to live in a place at a time when other people have made you and I have certain liberties and rights and privileges that other people in the world don't have. And we just want to fret those away real easy. We don't have to endure some things that other people in the world have to endure. You know, all those believers in all those prisons who are, you know, the guy, the pastor in Iran who's been in jail and been beaten and abused because he was trying to start an orphanage and he happened to be there. And they decided they didn't like that and he didn't want him to do it, so he's been in jail. And his wife pleading her heart out, it's hit the news in the United States, but have we really focused on that a whole lot? As we continue to make nice with Iran? Why isn't that guy out of that jail? It's because he believed in Jesus and he wanted to change people's lives. So he's in jail. There's people like that all over the world. And you and I are supposed to live as though we are suffering along with them. You can see that in Scripture in Hebrews. You can see that in Scripture in 1 Peter, that we're supposed to join our lives to them in prayer because we're supposed to be sharing their sufferings. And that's one way we can do it. Not the only way, but it's one way. We've got to engage in that, and that helps us to grow up. Have you experienced that? That when you get outside of yourself, don't you grow up a little bit? Patiently endure. Obey, sacrifice, patient endurance. Last one that I want to talk about today. Spiritual victories. Here in 1 John, again, this is one of those passages that we use a great deal. 1 John 2:13, 14, John said, I write to you, dear children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong and the Word of God lives in you and you have overcome the evil one. Victories. We are going to have our share of failures and defeats. And it's sort of like baseball. Baseball is a game where everybody fails a lot. But you have to keep playing the game to get better at the game. Right, Wade?
You told me that.
What was... what was your batting average?
Career?
Yeah.
Probably 285.
285. What that means in common language is that 7 times out of 10, Wade didn't get anywhere near the base.
He made the bigs.
I mean, you think about that. It was successful, right? Because there's only, 6-7% of all ballplayers ever make the big leagues? Something like that. So it was success. But failure. Victories. Okay. Yes.
Short memory.
People, exactly, exactly. Mature people can get over it and move on to the next opportunity to obey. That makes sense? That if we can't get through the failure, we'll never get to the victory. And we're expected to win some victories. Not because it's our strength, but because the power of God works through us. Now, what are some ways that we gain victories? What are spiritual victories? Had 38 of them yesterday. We have 38 kids say that they had asked Jesus into their lives and they had never done that before. All right? That's Stephen.
Just saying, just being able to say no and walking away from something that used to always trip you up. It's a victory.
Dealing with our own personal flesh and temptation and saying, I will follow Jesus instead of giving in to that. That's a victory. That is a spiritual victory. Yes. And those of you who heard Damien Chair yesterday, you heard about. You know, and it's a day-by-day thing for most of us. Other ways we win spiritual victory. Yes, Stacy.
By obeying when we don't feel like it.
Okay, obeying when we don't feel like it. What about praying and then you see God respond because the people of God are praying in agreement with what He wants to do. And things and people change and everybody else can't explain it. Somebody hell-bent changes.
Continuing to pray when nothing seems to be changing.
True. Exactly. Exactly. It goes back to you can't see. You're obedient. You can't see. All right. Did y'all hear Terry? You obey God, and then you get your backside kicked. And then you obey Him again, even though it looks like you got your backside kicked. Does that make sense? There's an element in this that we have to remember. There's always... When you're talking about spiritual victories, there's a spiritual dimension to spiritual victories. It's not a fleshly, temporal thing all the time. So sometimes you pray about things you don't even know or understand about, and you do it. And you trust God to be engaged in bringing a spiritual victory about. And it may be that it happened and you will never see it. But we have to be willing to engage. It's part of the growing up process. How do you know God from the beginning? You walk with Him through it all. And you have to engage and you have to have victories in order to be a grown up. Spiritually, it's the same thing. If you haven't had challenges, you haven't obeyed, you haven't sacrificed, you haven't patiently endured, and you haven't won any spiritual victories, chances are you have not engaged and grown up a whole lot, spiritually speaking. You can today. You take the next step. You engage. So, this is not to say, bad, bad, boom, boom, beat you over the head. It's, here's the opportunity. And if you and I, who hear the Word of God, know the Word of God, and are a part of the people of God, if we will let God do this in our hearts, in our lives, if He hasn't been, it will make a difference. And there's a lot of other people that need to know this too. Because all they've been taught is to be a grown-up Christian. You come sit your little backside in that pew right there. And you show up and you get brownie points. And then if you tithe, you get really good brownie points. And then maybe you get voted on some committee and you get a lot of brownie points because nobody else wants to be on that committee. And all of that has to do with the fact that we have superimposed the wrong criteria for what being mature is. It's not for being in a pew 20 years. It's not for knowing all the Bible in between our ears. If we can quote chapter and verse at the moment's notice. It's not how many courses we've gone through. Spiritual maturity is when we've gone through these things that we've talked about today and they become a part of our life. And we begin to look like Jesus because of that very fact. We've got a long way to go. I got a long way to go. But I get to live through today and I get to take a step. Just like you do. Let's bow. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for showing us the way. Thank you for sending Jesus to be our way. To be our life. Lord, today I ask that we will let you reveal yourself to us, reveal your truth to us, and let us obey and take the next step so that, Lord, we will be prepared to grow up. Lord, some of us are well along the process of growing up. And Lord, we are thankful for the way you've shown yourself faithful. We want to trust you more. Lord, others of us just need to begin to take the next step. And Lord, I pray that you would show us how to do that, even when we can't see, so that we'll really understand what faith's all about. Thank you for hanging in there with us and never giving up and keeping us in the palm of your hand. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. We're done.